Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for the Wilmington, Ohio Church of Christ. We pray that this message will inspire you and help you grow closer to God in your faith. Be sure to stick around after the message to find out more about how you can take your next best step. Enjoy the message.
Yesterday we had upward basketball here, and for those of you who don't know, the chairs are taken down. They're moved to the side. We have basketball goals set up in this. And we have kindergarten through sixth graders playing basketball in here on Saturdays for 8 straight weeks. And it takes a ton of people to do and to make it right. The director, Cheryl Brockmeyer, our children's minister, she is an organizational queen. I mean, she has got a smooth operating. But there's a ton of people that work and serve. There's people that help set up the chairs, take down the chairs, set up the goals, put up the goals. There's all these volunteer coaches. It's just an incredible day. And the kids are learning how to play basketball, but they're also learning about Jesus and teamwork and just the kingdom of God the whole way through. And our concession stand out at the coffee bar sells food as well. And so yesterday I went and I was here and I was just, you know, just blown away by what was going on. I went to the concession stand to get a couple of hot dogs and a Coke. And the lady, Becky Mann, who is a member of our church, who is volunteering her time to work all day selling concessions, she handed me my Coke and 2 hot dogs, and she said, "That'll be $5. And I said, "$5?" And then she gently rebuked me. She said, "I think what you meant to say is only $5? See, our concession stand is raising money to send our students to a conference for the week where they will learn about God, be encouraged toward love and good deeds. They'll grow in their connection with each other and with the Lord, and they will make it will have a lifelong impact on their souls. And I needed to be corrected in my attitude and my thinking that it was, the concession stand is not about me and my belly. It's about our students and their eternal life. Only $5? Why can't I invest more?" I'm so thankful Becky told me that and corrected my thinking. Today, we're going to look at some scripture where Jesus does this gentle and harsh rebuke on our attitudes about money and how we invest in the kingdom of God. And I have just not been, please pray for me, I have just not been settled in my spirit or my mind about today's sermon. And so that either means that I really need to hear it, or somebody here really needs to hear it. Which reminds me of one of my favorite preacher jokes. This preacher, every week, he would get up and preach, and there was always a lady all the way in the back, and she was always nodding her head at what he said, and every time she left, she would say something like, "Great sermon today, preacher. I am so glad that they were here to hear it. You really told them." Every week, and every week, he tried to find more and more specific scripture to speak into her life, to convict her of her sin, to have her turn back to the Lord. And every week she would just say, "Man, preacher, that was a good sermon. I am glad the rest of the congregation was here to hear that." And one day it snowed, and she was the only one that showed up. And he said, "Oh, I got you now." And he preached his heart out. And on the way out, she said, "Preacher, if only they had been here." I am not settled in my spirit. Usually I'm very comfortable and ready to go, but today I just don't feel ready. And so I think that means for me, I need to hear this message. Maybe more than I need to hear other messages. Maybe I need my attitude just corrected even more specifically for me. But maybe you need to, somebody needs to hear this that's here today about what God is going to tell us about our attitude toward investing in the kingdom. So if you would allow me, I'll pray for us, and then we'll open up our Bibles to Luke chapter 12, and we're going to read a section that just Jesus, he's going to give a just shake us awake, and then he's going to say, well, actually, it's a little bit more gentle than that. So let me pray. God, I thank you so much for this passage of scripture that I'm reading today. I thank you for Becky for reminding me about what's really important yesterday. And I think, Lord, today, by the power of your Holy Spirit with us and in us and in this room and using the scripture, Lord, I think you will show us once again what is really important. And so, Lord, would you help us wrap our minds around the most important things in your kingdom? Would you help us have our attitude adjusted wherever we need to be adjusted? And then, Lord, would you change us from the inside out? Lord, we need a miraculous awakening in our soul and having our eyes open spiritually, take away our blinders so we can see how important doing your kingdom work is. So, Lord, help us to see today. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We come to Luke chapter 12, and Jesus has been teaching for a while, and he's taught about the greed of the Pharisees already. He said, hey, these preachers that just want your money, they're not the ones you need to necessarily follow their actions. Maybe do what they say if they're preaching the word, but man, you got to be careful of them. And then he teaches some more, and he teaches about, and it's kind of a strange transition, we think, but I think there's a theme here. He preaches that when you start joining the kingdom of God, you're going to be attacked and maybe even persecuted, maybe even die, but you can trust God. He's going to take care of you. And then, right, he's got all these people around him, and he's just talking about, like, you need to trust God. And then some yahoo stands up and says, hey, teacher, I need you to tell my brother. My brother needs to hear what you're saying. And he says, my brother needs to hear what you teach on money and possessions and how to be generous. And would you tell my brother to give me my part of the inheritance? Okay, that's where we open up in Luke chapter 12, right? It's right in the middle of Jesus' teaching about kingdom stuff, and this guy says that. Here's verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. But Jesus said to him, man, who appointed me a judge or divider over you? And then he said to them, the whole crowd, his disciples are real close to him. They're the ones getting the first conversation. But he's teaching all of the people that have got, I think there's 1,000 more or more people listening. He says to all of them, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of possessions. That's kind of a strange phrase. Even if you have a whole lot, your life is not in your stuff. And then he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, self, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, this is what I will do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger barns. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Well, I am so glad that Jesus is telling this to those rich fools. They need to hear this. They need to hear this. This is important. They need to hear. In fact, this is a theme in all the Old Testament too for rich people. And that rich people need to hear this. Here's the rich man. He tells his story, and he's talking to the guy who wants the inheritance divided, who is clearly only concerned with money. Like, we never have that problem, right? And he says, this farmer has so many crops this year, like he made them grow, right? If you've ever planted anything, you hope it grows. If you've ever put out any type of crop, you hope you have a good harvest, but you have no control over the harvest. But this guy's harvest is so much that he has collected so much, he doesn't even have place to store it. So then he says, time to retire. I've got so many crops, and I can store so much food, I don't have to work ever again. I'm going to sit back, relax, put my feet up, eat, drink, and be merry. You know, the scripture tells us we're allowed to eat, drink, and be merry. That rich guy is quoting scripture. He's quoting a command from God to us, eat, drink, and be merry. And so he tears down his small barns. He builds bigger barns. He puts all of his savings in storage. He's ready to go. Nothing can get him except he dies that night. And, you know, this idea for rich people to think that all of their money is just for themselves, well, they need to hear that. They need to hear that that is not the way to live. That their money is supposed to be shared with other people. In fact, this is actually found in Isaiah. Isaiah the prophet, 700 years before Jesus, he is writing to the nation of Israel, and he says in Isaiah chapter 1, here is what the kingdom is about. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17. Learn to do what is right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. Do what is good. So if you're really rich, you need to use your money to do what is good. And then God, in Isaiah, he gives this incredible, harsh warning to the nation of Israel. And I think this is directly connected to our passage in Luke. In Isaiah chapter 5, it says, I will sing for the one I love. This is God speaking through his prophet over the nation of Israel. I will sing for the one I love, a song about his vineyard. My loved one has a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up, cleared it of stones, planted it with choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it, and he cut out the wine presses as well. And he expected it to produce good grapes, but it produced only worthless ones. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done for my vineyard than I've done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? This rich man is a bad grape, a bad seed. God's done everything for him. He's provided everything for him, and he just wants to use it for himself. Verse 7, the vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel. And the people of Judah, those are the vines he delighted in. And I looked for justice, but I saw bloodshed. For righteousness, but I heard cries of distress. So woe to you who add more to your house. Basically, without considering the needs of others. And you join field to field until there's no spaces left and you live alone in the land. And boy, the woes get worse for the people of Israel. And I think, I'm so glad that rich person got shaken awake for his sin. Because his sin wasn't having too much. His sin was being selfish, not thinking of others, laziness, and worst of all, which is the basis for all the sin, his sin was he did not include God in his plans. Becky said to me, don't you mean, oh, that's all I have to pay? When I go over the sins of the rich man, it's like God is trying to shake me awake. Listen to the sins of the rich man again. Selfish, not thinking of others, lazy, and not including God in his plans. I am guilty of all those sins. I can't point at rich people and say, man, I know they need to hear that. Because Jesus is talking to me. And he says, you need to pay attention, Dale. Because the rich man is storing up treasure for himself, not including me in any of his plans. And then his life is over. He was a fool to think that he could live life without thinking of God and others. Dale, your life is not in having stuff. It's not in having a lot of stuff. Life is about, and true life, is about loving God and loving others. True life is investing in things that are eternal. Because the things on this earth, you invest in them, they're going to go away. They're going to flee. They're going to leave. Money can be gone just like that. And unless you invest in things that will last forever. Well, what lasts forever? The kingdom of God, the word of God. The word of God is eternal. And people. Those are the only three things that go to heaven at the end of this world. The kingdom of God will continue. The word of God will be forever. And souls. And Jesus is trying to tell the man who was so concerned about the inheritance, and he's trying to tell the rich man who built the barn, and he's trying to tell us, if you are not more concerned about eternal things than temporary things, then you are a fool. This guy. I wonder if I'm unsettled because God is trying to teach me today. Because I initially think, well, I don't have enough money where I don't have to do anything. I don't have enough money where I don't have to work. I don't have enough money where I don't have to worry about money and bills and medical expenses. But the sin wasn't having too much money. And we all think, and we can clearly see, the problems that rich people have about greed. I can clearly see other people's sins, but I need Jesus to open up my eyes to see my own sins. I'm blind to my own sins. I have some quotes I think I want to say that I did write down. Jesus is telling that man who asked for him to divide my inheritance. Jesus is saying, listen, if you come to me and ask for anything without first giving me your everything, you can't get the anything part right. See, if we go to Jesus and we say, Jesus, I think you're a good God and a good teacher. Would you please now give me what I want? What we're trying to do is we're trying to use Jesus to give us stuff which we think is going to make us happy. And Jesus is trying to tell us your life is not found in stuff. Even if you think stuff is going to make you happy. I don't play the lottery. I think it's a tax on the ignorant and poor. And people who get a lot of money all at once, they you've heard stories about how their whole life is ruined because they've won the lottery. And I think secretly in my heart of hearts, man, I'd like to give that a try. And Jesus is trying to tell me, listen, your life is not going to be life if you have more money. Life is about helping others and loving others. And including God in all of your plans. Jesus says, I will be a divider for you, but I'm going to divide your affections so that you love what is most lovely. And then you can enjoy what I give you. But he said, if you get that backwards, you're going to try to make your stuff, what you should just enjoy, your whole life, and you're going to pursue it with everything, and it's going to leave you dissatisfied, or it's going to leave you in alert, or it's just going to kill you. You're going to be a fool. I don't want to be a fool. And I need somebody to gently wake me up and say, it's not about you. It's not about your stomach. It's about kingdom stuff. And then, now, my eyes are open and I'm like, oh, well, let me pay double for that hot dog and Coke. Because I know the extra money is just going to help pay for a student to go on this trip. And that's going to change their life. And their changed life is going to change other people's lives. And then more souls get to go to heaven. And we don't see where we don't always see where we invest in the kingdom. But when we get to heaven, God is going to, I just have this idea that God is going to show us all the impact we've had in the kingdom when we planted a seed of faith or we watered a seed of faith and we never saw it on this side of eternity. But on that side of eternity, we're going to get to heaven. Somebody's going to run up and give me a giant hug and say, "You changed my life." And I'm going to say, "I don't even know you." And they said, "You paid too much for a hot dog and a Coke. I got to go to a conference. I got saved. I saved my whole family. And you are the one that invested in me." And I didn't even realize. Why wouldn't we all want that? Well, I know why I don't want that. It's because I want stuff that I think is going to make me happy. And I invest in all this temporary stuff and worry about money when I should be trying to see where God wants me to invest in his kingdom, including God in my plans. This first warning from Jesus to the rich people is really a warning to us. And then he gives a more gentle warning to poor people. And this is in verse 22. The first one was, I think, kind of harsh. He says, "You fool." And then I realize he's talking about me. But then this warning is more gentle. Verse 22. So he says that to the whole group of people listening. You got to get the right stuff first. Prioritize the kingdom. Include God in your plans. And then he says to his disciples, closer. Now, the disciples really didn't have very much. Jesus lived a kind of a poor ministry. He had people funding his ministry, but don't let other people fool you. He did not have mansions on earth, and he did not come so that we would have mansions on earth. Okay, don't let people fool you when they talk about God wants you to have an abundant life, and they're talking about material wealth. And there are some churches that teach God's main concern is your happiness and you to have abundant wealth, abundant health. And now I'm kind of ranting a little bit. That's a dangerous teaching, and it's not biblical. Jesus says your life is not in abundance of stuff. It's not that he doesn't want you to enjoy stuff. It's not that he's not concerned about your happiness. He just has more things that are prioritized over wealth and health, like your holiness, your humility, and your grace, and your forgiveness. Okay. Sorry for the rant. Then he says to his disciples, for this reason, and we need to know what that reason is. What is the reason? Well, we got to go back and look. Include God in your plans. Be kingdom-minded. Beware of every little bit of greed, every type of greed. For this reason, beware of types of greed. Now he's going to talk about poor people. Do you know poor people can have greed too? I had a friend named Jerry, and his whole life goal was to move to Belize. And so when he finally reached a point in time in his life, he sold everything here in Wilmington that he had, and he moved to Belize. And he couldn't live in the rich part of Belize. He had to live in the poor part of Belize because selling everything still only. Anyway, and he goes down there and he's on the rich side of Belize. I mean, he's on the poor side of Belize, and he goes to the church that's on the poor side of the river in Belize. Belize is kind of divided by a river. On one side is rich expats, and on the other side is kind of the indigenous people of Belize and poor Americans. And he went to church, and he said, this church, like the preacher pulls up on a donkey. I mean, they don't have anything. And he said that morning sermon was about greed. Poor people can have greed too. And this is Jesus. He turns to his disciples. He said, listen, for this reason, worry about greed. Beware of greed. I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on it. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Now he tells some stories that we are going to have trouble coming to grips with. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And if then you cannot even do a very little thing, like adding an hour to your life, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith?
Remember, he's talking to his disciples when he says this. And do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things, the pagans, the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give it to charity, make yourself money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is a warning to the poor. And there's a certain kind of test you can have to tell whether you have a problem with money or if money's got a hold of you. If you struggle with greed, even if you don't have so much money that you can sit back and relax and never have to work again. See, that was the rich man. But now he's talking to his disciples. And they're not wealthy. They remember, they were fishermen. Like, they didn't have a good day's catch. They're going to have trouble eating. They sell any excess, but they also eat what they catch. And he says, here's how you can tell if you have trouble with greed if you're poor. Do you really, really worry and run after and are anxious about whether you're going to have enough? That is the same type of sin as the person who has too much and doesn't include God in their plans, the person who has too little and they don't trust God in their plans. This was hard for me to get, because you know I don't get all the time Jesus when he tells stories about ravens and flowers. I don't get it. But I think this is it. Ravens were unclean birds, they were carrions, they don't work for their food, and yet ravens live. God provides food for them. And they have to eat other dead animals. That's what they do. So God must consider the unclean birds valuable enough to provide for them. And then Jesus says, to me, you are way more valuable than some silly old unclean bird. You can trust me that I'll provide for you. You don't have to worry about not having enough food or not having enough security. Now, here's where we sin. Let me rephrase that. Here's where I sin. I get to thinking that if I have more money, I become more valuable. If I have more money, or if I earn more money, or my investments start taking off, I think that makes me more valuable. And if my money decreases, or I go in debt, which I have debt, or I have medical bills to pay, which I do, I think maybe my self-worth is not as valuable. And Jesus says that is stinking thinking. He says, in the kingdom, a person is valuable because they were created in the image of God. And the kingdom values are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, humility, integrity, and courage, which have nothing to do at all with how much money a person has. In fact, sometimes a person who is great in the kingdom of God will be dirt poor but rich eternally, because their grace and their love and their wisdom and their humility and their forgiveness far outshines even the person that has a lot of money. Sometimes the person who is most loving and most kind and most forgiving also has a lot of money. That's not always the case. See, money doesn't determine our value. And Jesus is trying to tell the poor people that were sitting right with him, he said, money doesn't give you value. It's your attitude in the kingdom
that increases your value or not. And if you would just trust that God will provide for you because he loves you so much, you are so valuable to him. You don't have to worry or be anxious about if you're going to have enough to eat. You don't have to worry or be anxious if you're going to have a place to stay. God will provide for you. Lee Sandlin, the director of Sugar Tree Ministries, he tells me, hey, Dale, if somebody on the street says they need money for food, don't give them money because they don't need food. They're lying and they want drug money. And Lee would know because he works with a homeless population primarily. And Lee says, not only does Sugar Tree offer food and clothing whenever somebody needs it, and even shelter if they need it, there are 12 or 15 food banks here in Wilmington. There's several churches that offer food, there's several organizations that offer food, and Sugar Tree offers food every day. There is no one in our community that ever is in need of food. And there's no one in our community that's ever actually in need of clothing. The homeless shelter collects clothing and they give clothing away. Lee collects clothing and they give clothing away. Pastor Rich Bowl over at the Church of God, over on Nelson Street, which is right over here, they have a warehouse where they get sent food to distribute to our community. And sometimes he has so much in his warehouse, he calls up Lee down at Sugar Tree and says, I've got an excess of food. Can I send some to you guys? And Lee says, sure, we need it. We can take it. And sometimes Rich, I think he's involved. I don't tell him I said this, but I think he's involved in the Christian mafia or something. I think he's like a Christian mob guy or something. He always is like, yeah, we got this new thing. It fell off the back of a truck. I was like, Rich, how can I get that for our church? He's like, I can't tell you, otherwise I'd have to kill you. I don't understand where, but he has so much, and he gives it all away. He is so generous. His church is so generous. But none of us have to actually worry about food. The necessity of life. And we also do this sin. We think if we have money, we're going to have security. And we're going to be safe if we have money. And so we worry about whether we have enough money and whether we have enough in the savings. Because we think that the money makes us safe. We think the life is in our money. We think safety's in the money. I think safety is in money. I sin this way. I don't know if you sin this way or not. And if the money disappears, I think I have no security. And no safety. And God says, did you forget that I'm the one that takes care of you? God looks at me and he says, did you forget that I'm the one that allows you to live or die? That I'm the one that gives you health or takes health away? That I'm the one that can call you home tonight? What happens when the money disappears is not that my safety disappears, but my illusion of safety disappears. None of us are safe by our own hand. None of us have security by our own ways or how much money we have. It's God that gives us that security and safety, and it's God that can take it away. And yet we think that if we pursue after money, we'll have everything we need and we'll have safety, security. We'll finally feel confident and secure. This is why this is actually a gentle rebuke. I heard a preacher say this, and I think, man, he's right on. I didn't see it before he told me this. He said, every person needs a family-type love. We need parents that will give us self-worth, that tell us that we are valuable, and we need parents to give us safety and security. And yet, there is no perfect parent. And even the best parents die and leave us.
We can't find our ultimate satisfaction in the parental love we have from earthly parents. And so this preacher said, our parents are actually the good ones, are actually training wheels for us. They're actually a taste of what the eternal good Father is to us. And so the best parents on earth will allow us to experience a little bit of value and security. But they're designed to point us to the ultimate Father who says we are valuable and we are secure. We all want to find value by our own hands. We all want to find security by our own doing and our own work. But our value and our security is found outside of ourselves. And it is found in God the Father, who loves us as his children. Listen to how the Jesus phrases it. God feeds those ugly, gross ravens. He considers even them valuable. How much more valuable you are than birds. The Father knows you need these things. Don't forget, you have a heavenly Father that thinks you are so valuable, thinks you are so extremely valuable that he sent his Son to die for you. He sent his Son to death so that you could have life. That's how valuable you are to the Father in heaven. The scripture says, Jesus, who was rich, became poor so that we could experience life. That's how valuable you are. And the grass, the lilies, they really do. They grow up one day, they're dead the next. They get scooped up and they're kindling for the fire. They help start the fire. God thinks they're so valuable, he clothes them and makes them beautiful. Don't you know that your lifespan is so valuable, he's going to protect you because you are so valuable to him. He is the good Father. And Jesus is trying to tell the poor people, you don't have to worry. He's trying to tell me, you don't have to worry about life. Just trust the Father and try to pursue kingdom work. And see, both stories, the warning to the rich and then the warning to the poor, are about pursuing life in the kingdom. So then Jesus says, well, here's how you do it. Seek his kingdom, and all the things you're actually concerned about, they'll be given to you. Do not be afraid. And this is so gentle. Do not be afraid, little flock. Your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. See, once we get adopted into God's family, our inheritance is the kingdom of God. We get to taste it now, and we get it in full when we get in heaven. We don't have to fear even death. Jesus says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Make yourself money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, you can look and examine where my heart is the most by examining my bank account. What do I spend the most money on? And you can do the same thing for you. You examine what you spend the most money on. That shows you where your heart is. But Jesus is also telling us, whatever we put our money toward, our heart will follow. So if we invest in the kingdom, our heart is going to go after kingdom stuff. And if we invest in the kingdom and our heart goes after kingdom stuff, then we will rely more on God, trust him more, fall more in love with him, we'll be including him in our plans. Our anxiety and our worry will actually lower, and our joy and happiness and satisfaction will actually increase, and it won't actually have anything to do with how much money we have. I needed to hear that today. I don't know if somebody else needed to hear that too. But you can tell me on the way out the door, preacher, I'm glad you were here to hear it. There is something that Jesus tells us to do to get us to focus our attention back on him, a weekly reminder. He says, when you gather together, I want you to remember me by doing this. And what this is, it is communion. And so when we gather together, we want to point our attention every opportunity we get, from our worship songs to the sermon to our time of communion, we want to point our attention back to Jesus. Would you take out your communion packet, please? If you didn't get one, we have them still at the door. At each door, there's a communion packet. In the very top part of the packet, and you can go get that right now if you don't have one. The very top part of the packet is a piece of bread, a small wafer, and you have to, if you are new with us, you have to peel the top layer of cellophane off first. Jesus says when we gather together and we remember what he did in the bread and the cup, this is a way to gently realign us with the right attitude toward kingdom stuff. This is like Becky Mann telling me, you meant to say, it's only $5. This time of communion is like God is gently, Jesus is gently giving us a rebuke and saying, you can trust me. I'll provide for you. You can trust me. Include me in all of your plans. Invest in kingdom stuff because you are so valuable. And the communion reminds us how valuable we are. The bread, he tells us, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. And he broke the bread. He passed around. All the disciples ate the bread. And so we are supposed to eat the bread and remember that he took our sin into his body because he loves us. Would you participate in the bread? Jesus, we praise you. We thank you for this reminder of how much you care for us, and we never have to have anxiety or worry. And Lord, this is a reminder that you care for us so that it will help counteract our anxiety and worry. Lord, this is a reminder that we have all of our guilt taken away and you've paid our penalty. This is a reminder, Lord, that whatever shame we have that you have taken on in your body, and you've taken our shame away, and you've given us honor because now we're part of your family. And Lord, wherever we feel powerless, you became powerless in our place, allowing people to kill you, so that we could have the power and authority of the kingdom of heaven. We thank you for this reminder. Would you take out your cup? Jesus says, this is a cup of my blood poured out for you for the new covenant. We remember that his blood covers us over and makes us completely clean. He loves us so much. Would you participate in the cup? Jesus, we praise you with this reminder of the bread and the cup. You tell us and show us and remind us how valuable we really are to you. And you remind us that our eternal safety, our eternal home is secure. And we need to be reminded of that. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We hope you have enjoyed this message. If you need someone to pray with you, talk to, or maybe you just want more information about our church, be sure to fill out a Connect card so we can reach out and help you take your next best step. Thanks again for joining, and we will see you back here next time.